So the person I wanted to speak about today was, tonight was the Ravid. So first of all, like always, I try to give over where the material exists. The truth is, he wrote a lot, but very little of it is material. You can figure out much about his biography. There was one work that Dr. Tversky, Yitzhak Tversky, Isidros Tversky, Rav Soloveitchik's son-in-law, wrote his doctoral thesis on it, and he published it as a book. It's called the, it's the Ravid of Maskiris, and that is supposed to be kind of the benchmark book. Tachlis, a lot of description, a lot of details about things, but very hard, not easy to put together biographical material. His own brother-in-law, his name is Chaim Soloveitchik, Dr. Professor Chaim Soloveitchik, critiqued it very, very sharply. I wasn't able to download his critique because it costs a lot of money, so we'll have to do without it unless somebody wants to sponsor $36 for his article, or if you don't have anything else to do with your money. So, but Al Kapanim, it's not so relevant. There's somebody else who actually put out material that is on the Raza, on the Balamor. His name is, it was an Israeli choker, somebody I knew actually a bit, Toshma, from person, a very fine person, who actually I think did a very good job. And he does speak a little bit about it because they interacted a lot. So the material comes from there, and most everything that I'll speak about is in this forum and so on. First, two introductions. He lived in the 1100s, from, let's say, 1120 to 1198 is more or less the accepted span of life. He lived in Provence, and I want to try to explain a little bit where it is, what it is, because it's important for the understanding of a lot of things. Today we're used to thinking of countries as complete entities. So France is France. France is about as big as Texas, and doesn't seem to be any problem having a country that size. Like I've said many times before, a country that size is not viable, was not viable in those days, and provinces and subsections were a lot more realistic. So there was North France, which would be where the Balitaisis lived, and that's the France you hear about all the time, Paris, etc., etc. The Provence is the southernmost strip of France. It's on the Mediterranean. It goes from Italy on one side to Spain on the other side, or the Pyrenees Mountains, the border with Spain. Which means that it's in a certain sense between France and Spain, equally, probably a little more accessible to France because there's no mountain range in between and so on, but it was its own separate world. It really was not part of the French world, certainly not part of the Spanish world. It was Provence. You come across it when you learn Rishonim, Chochme Lunil. Lunil was a city in Provence. Actually, somebody called Hayarchi, because the word Lunil, like moon, Hayarchi is a Hebrew translation of it. And Montpellier is there. Narbonne was a big city, and it seemed to be the central city. Those were cities that were along the bottom of France, of what's France today, and they formed Provence. The Jews in France, North France, were expelled in 1394. The Jews in most of Provence were not expelled until 1500. And there were four cities there because they belonged to the Pope, actually. They were allowed to stay till the modern era. In other words, they never were expelled. And they have their own nusach a little bit. It's a cross between different countries and so on. The Rambam wrote with great respect. He felt that Provence was one of the few places where Torah still existed. Some of the names we know, the first Gadol, Reb Moshe Darshan, that Rashi brings all the time, Reb Moshe Darshan, Moshe Moshe Darshan, he lived 100 years before, so, in Provence. The Baal Hamor came to Provence, and the Raivet, of course, and the, later on, the Meiri. There were many others, but those are the names that you heard of probably the most, and they all are from that area. So it's neither Spain nor France, it's really its own entity. That's one Akdama. The second Akdama is that there were three Raivets, and he did not have split personality. They actually were three very different people. The first one, and they all lived kamat the same, they all lived from 11 till 1200. One of them lived from 1120 to 1198, one from 1110 to 1180 or so. It's not this, they're called Raivet number one, Raivet number two, number three. It's not really chronological. The Raivet HaRishon, as he's called, was not really he wasn't noted so much for being a Talmud Chacham. He lived in Spain. His name was Avram ben David. He wrote a sefer called Sefer HaKabbalah, which is a history work. Basically, he was fighting the Karoyim, and he listed Kilu the Mesiris from Moshe Rabbeinu till his times. So he's a historian. He wrote books on astronomy. He was more or less known for that, and not really for, you know, in the Olma Torah, it didn't have real place. But he's known as the first Raivet. The second Raivet wasn't even called Raivet. He was Avram Reb Yitzchak, known Rabbi, but he was the Av Bezdin of Narbonne. And so he was known, if you'll see sometimes Ramban, it says Rav Av Bezdin, two words. People, you know, a lot of times mix them up, and he was called Raivet. So he was the second Raivet, and he's mentioned quite a bit. He wrote a sefer called Sefer HaEshkol, which is a halacha compendium, and that is, and that's like it's a classical. It's the same type of work. There were many that made that type of work, where basically a halacha sefer of halachas. That's called Sefer Eshkol. It came out in late 1800s or whatever it is. It was printed at that time. That's the second Raivet. He was the father-in-law of the third Raivet, the one that we're talking about. So there must have been not a big difference. If the dates are right, there's about a 10-year difference. But I'll assume he got married late, he got married early, and the girl was young. So, but he was a big Talmud Chacham. He was really a Reish Bezdin, and our Raivet, the Raivet the third, whose name was Avram Ben David, was his son-in-law, and so on. The Raivet we're talking about, and we'll refer to him. Everybody knows him as the one who wrote the comments on the Rambam. The truth is, he wrote voluminously. He wrote an awful lot more than the Ha'aretz Nasagis. So what we have from him, and this is only what we have, and we know there's a lot more. He wrote a group of sfarim that are kiftzei halachis and hilchas lulav. He wrote something called Issamashahu, which is on Teresa. It's an Issa Beheta. He wrote Balei Anefesh, which is a very, very important work on Hilchas Nida Mikvos. It's like a Shulchan Aruch type halacha book, and this was not uncommon. There are many other sfarim in this genre, like the Bala Itter. All these sfarim were kiftzei halachas, and he wrote those kiftzei halachas. One, he wrote on a lot of mesechtes. So, for instance, we have printed on Mesechtes Kinim, Mesechtes Idias in Shas. You'll see a pirish of the Raivet on the side. That's our Raivet. We have a Mesechtes Baba Kama, and I think maybe Avodah Zorah. We have the Raivet, Chedusha Raivet, like Yavar Rashba. We have the Shita Mugibetzes, and almost every Mesechta brings the Raivet. we don't have the Sefer, but he must have written on much of Shas, and he has an extremely important Pirush on Toras Kanim. Toras Kanim is the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra. It's the backbone of Kachim. The Ravid wrote a Pirush on it, which makes the Ravid an extremely important Sefer to use when you're learning Kachim. The Ravid on Toras Kanim is invaluable. The problem with it was, it was a horribly, horribly messed up Sefer. The Gersos, the Chaznish said it's a Sefer Shein Muga. And they now have the new Kisiyadis, and they've been putting out, Mechon Ofik, I think, has been putting out the Toras Kanim with the Ravid, redone and well done and so on. But it's a major, major Pirush. And amongst the Shas and so on, we have his Pirush. We also have a collection called Tmim Deim, which is Shals Etshuvos, but they're really, he didn't put together Shals Etshuvos Sefer, most people didn't. It's a collection of Tshuvos, Psakim, and so on and so forth, which had been redone by Rav Kapach, and he calls it just Tshuvos Psakim, pretty much the similar idea, and that's what we have in the Ravid. So extraordinarily voluminous. He wrote an awful lot on seems as almost on everything. He became famous, most famous, and people pick up on it immediately, is the Hasagas. He wrote Hasagas on the Rambam, and he wrote a sefer which he called Kosov Sham, which is Hasagas on the Balamor. So if you ever look at the Rif, you have the Rif, you have the Balamor, who argues occasionally with the Rif, and then you have two defenders of the Rif. You have the Ramban in Milchamas, and you have the Ravid Kosov Sham. The Ravid in his Asagis, and we'll see in other places, is extraordinarily sharp, and really, really sharp. It's incredible. He lashes out very strongly. On the Rambam, he still sort of seems to have a certain amount of respect. On the Balamor, he's very sharp, very, very sharp with him. And not really clear why. What's so sharp? Why is he that sharp? And what's it about? We'll see in a minute where probably some of his sharpest Lashainis are. He was a contemporary of the Rambam. He might have been slightly older than the Rambam. He was a contemporary of the Balamor. He didn't seem to have ever met the Balamor, but was a contemporary of his, contemporary of Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. They lived in North France, so they had no real connection, meeting. But Al Kaponim, that was his Tkufa. So he really, really, I did a computer run on Rishonim, how often they quote the Ravid. It was well over 5,000 times. It's interesting, one of Dr. Soloveitchik's points in the article that I did have, that you could download, was that it's terrible that he's known as the Bala Sagas, because that was a minor part of his work. His life did not revolve around the Rambam finding problems. He wrote, and this was a side thing. And he said, he makes a cheshbon. This is pre-computer age. And I checked on computer. The Ravid in Hasagas is only mentioned 150, 160 times in the Rishonim. And the Ravid in his regular writings is over 5,000 times. The truth is also that Hasagas are not a lot of writing. There's not a lot of it. So, but it became most famous because the Rambam is so famous, and therefore all of his Hasagas are very famous. And the question is, really, why did he write so sharply? It's incredibly sharp. I want to read something that is really hard to get, hard to understand. I don't know what to make of it, but it is. His sharpest writings was a set of a back and forth with the Baal HaMor. It's called Divrei HaRivos, Dvar HaRivos, Divrei HaRivos, the fights. And again, we don't know what context. It's printed in the Tumdeim. It's printed in the Tshuvos HaPsokim, but that's wherever they put it. These things were found, and they were sort of found with other stuff and printed. But it's on one sugi in Bar Metzia, a sugi if you have a parah that's a shula and a schura, one day shol, one day sachor, and it's a question when it damaged and so on. A real lamdeshuba become inyan, not the gel maisa, nothing. We don't have the entirety of it. We're missing the beginning of it, so we're missing some context. And what's interesting is that the Ravid is the one who is always going with very sharp lashonis. So the first shuva of the Ravid is I've come with you, and you know, I've come to have a pleasant exchange, like kind of Megillah Sefer Klas Yoifi Nitua Me'arugos Haboisim Migdals Merkochim Nishtashem Doidi Bidvar Havim Me'anovim. I've come to play with, to entertain myself with my friend, in beautiful words, and then he says Vani Yadati, I do know Kiyad Hamida Shvius Nagaspoy, that the seventh mida of Dvarim Dator's Nikna Behem Moidal Emes is not your forte. Velule Achai Vereye Asha Shom Lo Yisi Atameshiv Kemashtaim Shavoisov. I would only have answered on two, except for the fact that so friendly I feel that I must answer on everything. In other words, because I don't think you would ever be murdered to what I said. This is the first one. It points out mistakes, long arichas, halachic stuff. And then the Baal HaMor answers to, he says, Sholem Rav Lechol Teiroscha, Vanocha Vahashkit Mechamoscha, I hope you calm down a bit. The Chacham, Asher Chachmosem Atichosoi, whose Chachma boils in him, and his understanding doesn't let him be calm. In other words, you're so worked up. Mm-hmm. He says, you definitely were correct when you said that your words are like a boiling pot and so on. But all I see in the pot is a lot of smoke. Lila reisa lamala oshen kinegdi at shekovsha vechok savecha letzachnas aneim olaman boishes pneihem vani orvuli lekvoit chavoshem heima amru hatmein. Now I don't know what this is about, and no one does. It means, in other words, what the words mean is, you sent to me your reply with friends. They did not want to let me look at it, and it's really a shame that, you know, it's a bush and so on and so forth. Not clear what the politics of that was, what they didn't want, and so on and so forth. Then he says, and you, a wise man, what does it add to you that you write bitterness to me and you send them to your loved ones and those who with your loved ones and they hide them? Is this a reward that I was so mishabeach you, and you know I wrote so nicely that you turn around and you insult me? He said, I presented myself as if I was one of your ketani talmidim, You took it at face value that I'm one of your small tamidim. And you know, it's the lashon of a pasuk. You plowed over me, you know, meaning you exploited me. Why do you want the appellation of Yedid to be erased? In other words, we've been friends, we speak like friends, why do you want to destroy that? And I'm espalach Kodesh Baruch Hu should give you and me a pure heart. And Akash Baruch will mechadish ruach nochen livchar l'shein arumim v'safa brura tahira nekiyo lahafli eitzah like toshir. Akash Baruch will give us a clean ruach to deal with the things, matter of fact, and so on and so forth. He responds to it, and he's very upset at what he wrote to him, and he said. After he said, you know, you've turned against me. And you've written about me that I'm a pot and a smoking and so on and so forth. Then he said, "The Akadosh Baruch Hu is my witness. I did not mean to fight or to lash out against you. It's just that I saw that the Sfarim means Spanish Sfarim, shem avim zelazeh." I saw that this is the style in Spanish Sfarim, and since the Balamor came from Spain, he felt that this was that they write and yell and scream at each other all sorts of nasty things, and then afterwards they're best friends. I'll see, maybe this is your style, and I'll write to you a letter that's full with love, but you know, using that nusach. And chas v'shalom, I didn't mean to mivaze you, and my first letter is a rioted, and I asakel wanted to be menag with you at the minig asfardim, and I don't know why you wrote back such terrible things and so on and so forth. You called me somebody who plays cards and so on and so forth, on and on, upset at his lashonos. The Baal Amor answers him, and he says, so he says, first of all, let's see, he goes straight to Indian here. He writes that the minhag that you mentioned about the Sfarim and so on and so forth, I must tell you that I never ever came up against that minhag and so on and so forth. I don't know what you're talking about. Nobody writes the way you write, so on and so forth. That's the back and forth of them. Very, very sharp. What's interesting on the Rambam. The Rambam, there is an understanding of the sharpness. So let's take a look at two interesting hasagas of the Ravid. I got just the photocopy, should be easier to read it. He writes, the Rambam in his Akdamot to Sefer Yad HaChazaka says, he saw the Yiras HaDeiris and people don't know halachas, psukis, etc., etc. The fikach says karasi shem chibuz a mishnah Torah. I called my sefer mishnah Torah. Why? Lefi she adam kare b'torah shabiksav tchila. A person will learn chumash first. V'achar kach kare b'zeh. He'll learn the Rambam. V'yodeh mimene Torah shabal peh kula. And he'll know all of Torah shabal peh. Ve'in tzorach likra sefer achar b'neim. He won't need another sefer. So. That was extraordinary. Bear in mind, by the way, that Rambam was not, it was very different than like the Sefer Eshkol, which all these are contemporary, Sefer Eshkol, Sefer Itur. All of those Sfarim were halachas Sfarim, as opposed to the Rif and the Rush, who put their halachas, Rush much later, but who put their halachas around the Gemara And you still had the problem of finding aloch. You had to remember, was it Moed Katan? Was it Ksubis? Where was it? In the Rambam and all these other sfarim did it topically. So it's easier to find. No one, but everyone did practical aloch. Balei Nefesh, he saw that Hilchas Nida is becoming, you know, a field where a lot of people don't know the halachas. So he made a chayveres on Hilchas Nida. The Rambam set out to something a lot more ambitious. The Rambam wanted to do all of Torah. And he writes clearly in his Hakdama that, you know, Bavli Yerushalmi, Safra, Sifri, Mechilta, any Torah Shabal Peh finds its place in his Sefer. It's Kol HaTorah Kula. That's what it is. So that's how the Rambam described his Sefer. The Ravid has a saga on it. Om Avram. He thought that he's accomplishing something good. It didn't. He broke sharply with anybody before him. They all wrote, the riff was mefalpel, even in the places where he makes a chiddush halachas, he's mefalpel in it. And they would say, the Rif says, Vagoinim, or whatever. There's a big talus. Sometimes a dayan will decide to pass him one way or another. He has a raya from someplace. He'll know, he can choose and pick whose day is it. Ve'ato le'eda loma achza mekabola simariyosi b'shvil chibur shazah mechabe. So if you'd bring the goyim and say, this is what the goyim said, this is what the Ritz Ben Geyer said, this is what he said. So I know that I can have charata from what I believe, but I don't know. Your opinion is not, it's not mechayev me to back off. Im acholik kolay gadol mimeni harei toiv. If the one is mechayev me is bigger, fine. V'im ani gadol mimenu lom vatal daiti mimenu mipnei daiti. Why would I want to be vatal my das for his das? V'oid ki yesh tvarim shagoyim cholkim zal zeh. And there are things that's machlokes of the goyim. V'zeh mechabe bira diver echad because of chibura. And the Rambam passed like one of them. That's okay. V'lom esrachli b'rosis. But there's another shita. Why do I have to rely on him? V'ilo nirs beinai. V'lo edach choylekimoy. Im hu roy lachlekim loy einza el kol kaval di ruach yisera bei. He's a little bit too arrogant. So here the Ravid states something which people understood to be the reason why the Ravid is so sharp with the Rambam, and the accepted reason was that the Rambam, he did not want the Rambam to become a Sefer Torah. It's another Shita Rishonim, and it's a Makom Machlokes, and the fact that it's cholek so vociferously and so sharply is gives people else the understanding Rambam is another sefer. He also sort of alludes, he gives a backhand compliment. This is in Hilchas Kelayim. He says, Om Avram, kol ma shekosu b'kan ein l'sherish b'gemor l'seftov l'asechel moire. It's something in Kelayim where he says he thinks he's wrong. And he says, v'lulei, if not for the fact that the Rambam wrote such a major work, collecting all the Gemaras and so on and so forth, I would get together a big oilam. In other words, basically, I would go out against the Rambam. Because of what he did. So basically, the Ravid says that the Rambam did something which is a worthy accomplishment. It's putting together all the Shas Rav Yerushalmi, and we owe him a debt of gratitude for it. So I will argue in each place, but I won't try to get the Rambam off the bookshelf. That's basically what he's writing here. So that at least has some Havon and Tfisa. There's a story I once saw from B'Shem Reb Michal, then I've seen it in different versions from different people, but since it's fairly similar. But I mean, this I read B'Shem Reb Michal saying it. So Reb Michal Feinstein was the Brisker of son-in-law. And he asked the Brisker Rav, either someone asked a question or he raised the question, said the Pshat, how come the Ravid uses such sharp lashonis against the Rambam? So Reb Michal answered that it says that a Talmud Chacham, you know, his Torah is Marticha Bey, Sachas Bey, like the Lashon that the Baal HaMor used. And therefore, a Reisro Keturasach Bey. It's when you get very involved in something, you explode and say sharp things. But you know, it's like out of Risko de Reisa. Briskov made a face, didn't like it at all. And it's not the Briskov style, that the Surah. And the Briskov said, no, that's not Pshat. He said, in Halacha, there's a din, a Lesis upon him b'mishpat. You're not allowed to play favorites when it comes to din. So so to answer somebody that, you know, it may not be so muchach, when really it's muchach fakert, is called being nice upon him din. You're really in a certain sense perverting the din. The din is what you're saying is absolutely wrong. It's not a little dachuk. So when what the Rambam says is not just wrong, but it's absolutely impossible, you need to say that. And that's why the Ravid had to be medayek. This is like Tzohir, this is like Nohir, this is like Bor, this and that. So to be precise and exact, what's wrong about it. It's a very brisker teretz. It's hard to see that, to say that that's exactly that. But okay, that's the way the Rav was magdir it. But the more accepted pshat is that the Rambam, you know, he needed to be a counterbalance to the Rambam so that people don't just go blind to the Rambam, because that's not the actual Torah. But the real problem is, how do you explain? How do you explain the Baal HaMor? The Shainis of Baal HaMor are much, much, much sharper, incredibly sharp. We just saw, and in the course of Shem, he uses very sharp Shainis. And the question is why? I mean, Baal HaMor was not a major psak sefer that was going to be accepted in Klal Yisrael. The fact that he argued with the Rif, what's the problem? I mean, he himself says you should argue. It's not monolithic. It's not as if they're right. Why was he so incredibly sharp? We don't have any other real haggos that we can test it by. But still, it's a very, very sharp lashonis. What's interesting is the Baal HaMor never, you know, the Baal HaMor does not reply in kind. I mean, even what we saw is mild. Baal HaMor never uses his lashonis, and the Ravid uses constantly. So either because the Ravid was much more chashiv, so Baal HaMor deferred, and he couldn't write such a shyness, I don't know. But there's an interesting, it's something very interesting about the Ravid, the way he wrote his far. I'll tell you where it's most evident. They were working on manuscripts of the Baal HaNefesh. All of these sfarim that were very popular in Klal Yisrael, tended to remain error-free. Sfarim that were not so popular, so whatever manuscripts we have tend to be pretty bad. And the people put him out didn't do a great job. The Baal HaNefesh is a very chashuva work. And as they were preparing a better edition, they had almost two kisuyotis that were very different. And they couldn't make heads or tails, nusach acha, nusach this. They finally realized that he basically, the Ravid this was a second edition after the Balamor had written Hagaras on it, Haaretz on it. The Balamor had written Haaretz on it. The Raiva turned around, and anything that he found to be true and right, he incorporated in his work. He crossed out and wrote in what the Balamor had written, and so on. The Raivet has, in fact, and he writes in a few places, I used to think the halacha was this, now I realize it's this. I used to learn pshat like this, now I realize it's this. The Raivet really, really had the midah of Maidal Emes shines through. As sharp and as strong as he lashes back, when he feels that the Balamor was right, he changes. He literally took a pen, crossed out whatever he felt was been abgeschlagt. He would rewrite it, and he would stick it in, like he would stick it in as this is the way to read it now. And it's clear once they realized that, it was clear that that's what that second nusach was. It was the nusach after this. And so when the Ravid wrote that you're not a Meidel Emes, the Ravid himself was Meidel Emes. The Ravid himself writes numerous times that I changed my pshat. I realized I was wrong, and so on. So it's not just words. He really lived those words. The final thing I'd like to bring two more interesting things in his psakim and tshuvas he has in his Ptim Deim. He has a very interesting piece on lashonis in the Gemara, what they mean, certain lashonis. He calls them midas hatoyin adreshes, but it has nothing to do with midas hatoyin adreshes the way we know it. It's like ways to understand that the Gemara can say svaruhu and it's a maskana, all sorts of terminology in the mechanics of the Gemara rather than a sugya. Very interesting. I don't know the context of it. I know what it's there and that. But there's one more Ravid that's very, very famous, and I like to share it. The Ravid is in Hilchas Tshuva. And it's the Rambam lists in Hilchas Tshuva what exactly is what exactly is the definition of apikorsim? Who counts as an apikorsim and so on? So one of the things that the Rambam writes is somebody who believes that there's a God, but that the God has a physical form or shape is an apikoris or min. So the Ravid writes in that. This is a quote of Rambam. Ela shu guf ubal tmuna. He has a body and an image. He's also an apikoris. Amar Avram v'loma kara lezemin. Why does he call this person apikoris? V'kama gdoilim v'toivim mimenu. Greater and bigger people than the Rambam. Holcha v'zu amachshava. Felt that way, lefi masherob mikros, because they learned the psukim, they took him kibshuton. V'yoyse masherob b'divrei agadas amshav shadeis, and they also saw these things in agadatas, which twisted their minds. Now, so people today are desperate to look for things that are crazy, different, unusual. So, I mean, some people pounce on the Ravid that he believed that. Absolutely not true. The Ravid's very clear about it. But what does the Ravid mean that many people believe this? So if he would say many people believe this, even though they're finer Jews, so yes, there were a lot of simple folks. And the Rambam himself is in Mor Nevuchim, especially, is constantly writing that no one is excused from this belief. There were a lot of simple folks that attributed physical form to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they were simple-minded people and so on. So if you would say you can't make them all pikarsim, we'll get it. What does he mean, gedolim v'tovim menu? Two things. First of all, who are these many people bigger than the Rambam? He's saying that there are many people bigger and greater than him. Who? I mean, by all counts, you know. So what does he mean? And also, who does he mean? Who in the world do we know of that doesn't hold of this? So they found, you know, there's some ksavyad, a few pages of a ksavyad of a very, very, not known, anonymous, fairly anonymous, Baal Tosfos that is Rishon, that seems, he argues with the Rambam, but what he holds exactly is not clear. Rav Moshe Taku, so this has become everybody's favorite to talk about, that he believes in corporeality. But besides that, who in the world, who is he talking about? So the Chaznish says, he means Gdolim Tovim Mimenu is of Klal Yisrael. Mimenu means of Klal Yisrael. We're talking about Klal Yisrael, and these people don't, Klal Yisrael has a Chelek Olam Haba. And these people don't have a Chelek. So he says, what do you mean? Gdolim Tovim Mimenu of Klal Yisrael, they're Gdolim Tovim Klal Yisrael who feel that way. So that would be referring back again to simply good and pious Jews, be it as it may. I don't know. It's a very, very famous Ravid, that everybody knows about. I guess we'll finish off just one more interesting Lashon Fakert. The Ravid, he uses, so either he lashes out against his opponent, or he will say, Tagad Malka, Murad Avram, I swear by the Kesed Melech, so on. So the Shit Mekubetzes Bamitzia brings the Baal Amor. He says, Achshmana, listen, Afilo Atamarbe Kola Yoim, Tagad Malka, Murad Avram, Eino Shem Lecha. Even if you're going to yell and scream all days these Shavuos, I'm still not going to accept it. It doesn't help. These sharp lashonis are not getting you anywhere. That's a very interesting reply of Baal Amor. There's one more thing that I want to mention that is another piece of a very different puzzle. Where did the Kabbalah, not of the Arizal, but the earlier Kabbalah, when did it start becoming, spreading Klal Yisrael and developing, etc.? So we have the following that we know of. The Ravid had a son, Reb Yitzchak, who was blind from birth. And he was called Reb Yitzchak Sagi Nohar, Reb Yitzchak the Blind. He was known to have Ruach HaKodesh. There are stories about him that he could tell everything about a person when he met him, even though he couldn't see him. To the best of my knowledge, we don't have any works from him. He had two Talmidim, Reb Ezra and Reb Azriel. We have some of their stuff. In the Tefillah Moshe, I have his Pirush, Ezra's Pirush on the Siddur, Al Derech HaKabbalah. It's the Kabbalah Rishonim. He was definitely a Mekubal. We have his some Pirushim and Agadatas. Very much had the early Sir Kabbalah, and the Ramban was their Talmud. So the Shalshalos of Kabbalah, there is a Sefer called Shalshalos of Kabbalah that has to, it's a history work, but the Shalshalos of Chochmas Apnim starts with Reb Yitzchak Sagi Nohar, works its way through Reb Ezra Israel, then Rabban, and then you know whoever had it afterwards and so on. The question is, what about the Ravid? The Reb Yitzchak Sagi Nohar's father, did the Ravid know Kabbalah or not? So quite a lot of Sfarim, including including the Mekubalim, write that when the Ravid writes many times Seid Hashem Direyav, Karafir Ruach HaKadosh Bat Meshein, and so on, he means it literally. And he had Gilui Yo, he had whatever type of Giluyim, and he was a Mekubal. The Kapis Tamarim says, it's nonsense. It simply means that he writes his typical sharp lashonis. So it's another superlative of sorts. You know, said Hashem Lireyov, that I have a this, a that, the other. The Shem Agdolim, which is your obvious first resource for anything in these in Yanim of biography and so on, writes, he brings us down and he says, but you know, Kapas Tvarim should take a back seat because Reb Chaim Vital and all the others did think that the Ravid had real Ruach HaKadosh and he was referring to Ruach HaKadosh. So it would all the cover to Kapas Tvarim, but the giants of Kabbalah felt that he was that. So it's certainly the Ravid's son is the earliest Rishon that started the Shalshalos of Kabbalah. There's a pirush on Sefer Yetzirah called Ravid. It's universally accepted that it's not the Ravid we're talking about. Not clear whose it is and so on, but definitely from the Ravid's son, Rabbi Yitzchak Sagnor, is where the Shalshalos of Kabbalah started in Klal Yisrael. Like I said, the Ravid was nifter in about 1198, and Chof of Kislev is his yahrzeit. Okay.